You are majestic and you are over all. And Lord, I thank you that as it says, all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name is above all of them. So whatever we are facing right now, whatever challenges, whatever enemies are coming against us, Lord, you are above all of them. You are more powerful than all of them. You are victorious over all of them. So Lord, we say yes to you. And we say yes to the work that you are doing here. Father, we worship you this morning and we thank you for your goodness. And now I pray as we look into your word, Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and be our teacher this morning. And just as we have opportunity to worship you through the singing to you, singing your praises, Lord, now we have the opportunity to worship you through hearing your word. So I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray that today captives will be set free, chains will be broken, and people will walk out renewed because of what you have done. We invite you, Lord, to do that work now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
You guys can have a seat. Those who are in third grade and under are going to head downstairs. We love having you guys up here worshiping with us. It's awesome. Love it. Thank you, Colton, for playing the drums. You're the man. So we're going to jump right into it this morning. There's one verse we're going to look at today. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Here's what it says. He says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I like the way the Passion Translation puts it. It says, make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Before I go any further, I just want to pause and ask for some audience feedback. Just briefly, for those of you that weren't here in the first service, how would you define that word? How would you define forgiveness? What does that mean, to forgive? Not everybody at once, just one at a time. Go ahead, Elijah.
To make amends.
To make amends.
Letting go.
Letting go.
To look past.
To look past, I like that. To look past.
D, all of the above.
All of the above. All right. Those are all really good definitions, and I agree with all of them. And when we all agree, that's easy to do, right? Like, it just comes naturally? I'm just kidding. It's not. It's one of the hardest things God asks us to do. And because it's difficult, there's great freedom when we actually do that. I said this in the first service. I'm going to say it again. I believe with all my heart that for some of you today is going to be one of the most significant days in your spiritual journey. Because some of you here right now, you are enslaved to something that God never intended you to be enslaved by. And today can be your day of freedom where those chains are broken and you walk out absolutely free. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness. The word bitterness can also be translated resentment. Watch out that no poisonous root of resentment grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. He says that bitterness, resentment, he says it's like a root. A couple things I know about roots. Roots are not stationary, are they? They don't just go surface and then stop there. They go down deep. They grow and they spread. Bitterness is like that. When there's bitterness, when there's resentment in our hearts, we don't keep that to ourselves, do we? We tend to invite others into our bitterness. We tend to share our resentment, our offense, our anger. We tend to share others with that. We want them to participate in that along with us. And just like a root, bitterness will spread its tentacles out and spread itself around. Think about these trees out here by the river. Some of them are really big, and they're strong trees. Like, they can withstand some very powerful winds. Why? Because of their roots. They have strong roots. They have roots that grow down deep, and they spread out wide. And because of that, the tree is stronger. In the same way, that's what bitterness does to anger, to hatred, to unforgiveness. It makes it stronger. It solidifies it. It feeds it. It makes it almost immovable. It holds it firmly in place. And I want you to notice a couple things he says here. He says it will trouble you. It will trouble you. Bitterness causes trouble for the person who is bitter, for the person who is holding on to unforgiveness, to anger, to resentment. It causes trouble for that person. We're going to come to that a little bit later on. He also says it corrupts many. In other words, if I have bitterness in my heart, it not only damages me, it not only harms me, it harms those closest to me. It reaches its tentacles out beyond me, and it affects the lives of others as well. And the word here, when he says corrupting many, that word corrupting, it literally means contaminated. It has the picture of, just imagine if you've ever had this happen where you're wearing a white shirt and you're eating spaghetti. And you know where this is going, right? Don't ever wear white when you're eating spaghetti. And you know, you get spaghetti sauce on your shirt. What happens? It's stained. It's contaminated. That's the idea that he's pointing to here. Something that is pure, something that is holy, and now it is stained, it is corrupted, it is changed. That's what bitterness does to us and to those around us if it is not resolved. Another thing about roots is that roots pull resources and nutrients out of the soil to feed, feed the weed. So just picture a weed that's sitting there and there's other plants around it. That weed, its roots, it's drawing energy from the soil. It's drawing life from the soil. It's pulling away nutrients and resources for itself so that the other plants cannot have access to them. Bitterness does the same thing to us spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. Just like roots pull away nutrients that other plants need, in the same way, bitterness pulls away from us that which is life-giving. You know this to be true if you've ever gone through a season where you harbored a grudge, you harbored anger towards another person, or maybe you're there right now. You know this. It robs us, doesn't it? It robs our time. It robs our attention. It consumes our focus. It interferes with our days. It interferes with our nights. It pulls us away from that which is life-giving. It pulls us away from that which God wants to pour into our lives, from that which is eternal, from that which is lasting. It turns our focus entirely inward onto the anger, the bitterness, the offense that we've chosen to embrace. Bitterness is like a root. Like a root, it spreads. Like a root, it pulls away resources that others need. Like a root, it is firmly entrenched and it's hard to pull out. And like a root, it must be pulled out and dealt with. Here's one of the reasons this matters. It's very likely that there's a lot that God wants to do in your life. That there are things God wants to pour into your life, ways that God wants to use you, spiritual gifts he wants to activate in you, opportunities he wants to open up to you, transformation he wants to bring into your life, other lives that he wants to impact through your life. There are things God wants to do, but bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness interfere with all of that. And they keep that work from happening in our lives. Jesus told a parable about a farmer spreading seed. He talked about spreading seed and different types of soil. And he talks about the different soils that the seed fell in. And one of them, he says, the seed hit the ground and it began to grow up. But what happened? Weeds grew up around it and choked it out. And that seed represented the word of God, the work of God being done. And it was choked out by weeds that were surrounding it. And in the same way, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, just like the weeds that Jesus talked about, when we tolerate those things in our lives, they can choke out the work that God wants to do. They can prevent that work from moving forward in our lives because we have allowed them to. Jesus said that unforgiveness can interfere with our prayer lives. It can destroy our testimony with others. It can prevent us from growing in our walk with Christ. It can prevent us from experiencing true worship. It can prevent us from actually trusting God with things in our lives. It will keep us from effectively exercising our spiritual gifts. Scientists now know this. Unforgiveness can actually cause or sustain physical sickness. Unforgiveness enslaves us. And I want you to know, if you are carrying bitterness, that is a burden that Jesus will gladly lift off of your shoulders if you let him. One of the reasons Jesus died on the cross was to free us from that. to break its hold on us, to pull up that weed and to plant us firmly in his vineyard, where we can abide in him. Like a branch fastened to a vine, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's the life he intends us to live. Fastened to him, abiding in him, drawing life from him, growing because of him, bearing fruit because of him, seeing answers to prayer because of him, offering that life to others because of him, and spreading that life around because of him. That's the life he intends for every one of us to experience. And in Ephesians 3, as Paul is praying, he says this, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That's what God wants for every one of us. We can root our lives into God's love for us, connected to him and drawing life from him. Or we can root our hearts in bitterness and offense and unforgiveness and draw poison into our lives as a result of that. We have to make a choice. We can't do both. We cannot be rooted in God's love, abiding in Christ, and at the same time, holding on to a root of bitterness. We can't do both. We have to choose. Unforgiveness, like a weed, has to be pulled out by its roots. So how do we do that? I want to share five things with you this morning. And let me just say that these are not unique to me. While we were down in Georgia, Pastor Todd Smith preached on these five things as important parts of what it means to forgive someone who has wounded us. I'm going to just go through them quickly, and then there's a few of them that I want to highlight in more detail. Number one, acknowledge the offense and the one who caused it. In other words, don't make excuses for the person who wounded you. Don't pretend it was no big deal, and don't pretend it was okay. Be honest. What they did was wrong. What they did was evil. They had no right to do that. They never should have done that. Be honest about the offense and the person who wounded you. Number two, ask God for strength to forgive. We all understand how difficult it is to forgive. We need God's strength if we're going to walk in forgiveness, and we need to walk in forgiveness. So make this a part of your prayer life. God, empower me to forgive those who have wounded me. Number three, release them and cancel the debt they owe you. Number four, cancel God's retaliation for what they did. And number five, pray for them to be blessed. Let me highlight a few of these. First of all, number four, cancel God's retaliation. In Romans 12:14, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He's talking about our response to those who have wounded us. And he says, don't take it into your hands. Do not take revenge. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will take care of this. And in Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, pray for those who have hurt you. That's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. I want you to think about that moment from the perspective of God the Father. He is in heaven, watching this happen to his son. He sent his only begotten son, his beloved son, into this world to be our savior. And what did the world do? Rejected him, mocked him, put him on trial. Fake charges, fake accusations, liars lining up to say that he said things he never said. And they unjustly found him guilty. They spit in his face. They plucked out his beard. They punched him in the face. They beat him with a whip that had sharp stones and broken glass, literally ripping his back and his sides open. They nailed him to a cross and dropped it into the ground, and he hung there in agony for hours. And in his agony, what did they do? They mocked him. They made fun of his pain. And God the Father in heaven is watching them do this to his son. Dads, someone does that to your child. Is there any level of violence you would not carry out to avenge your child? Jesus knows this. They deserve to be judged. They deserve to be damned by God. But Jesus said, Father, I'm asking you not to do that. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And Jesus says, Dad, I'm asking you, don't do that. I'm asking you to show mercy to them. I'm asking you to forgive them. Do not retaliate for what they have done. That's grace. And that is what God calls us to do as an expression of forgiveness toward those who have wounded us. God, don't hold this against them. What they did is wrong. What they did deserves your judgment. But I'm asking you, God, to show your mercy to them. I'm asking you to withhold your hand of judgment and show them your grace instead. If you've ever had to pull up weeds, you know it's not easy to pull them up by the roots. Forgiveness is not easy. Pulling up bitterness by its roots is not easy. This is not easy to do. That's why number two is so important. How about the fifth one? Pray for them to be blessed. You know that you're walking in freedom. When not only do you not want God to judge those who have wounded you, but you actually want Him to bless them. To actively show His love to them. When you can pray for those who have wounded you, those who are your enemies, and say, God, I'm not only asking you to show your grace to them, I'm asking you, God, show them how much you love them today. As a loving Father, God, would you just wrap your arms around them and just embrace them? Show them your mercy. Let them know that you care about them. I pray blessing for them, Father. When you can do that and mean it, that shows you are free from bitterness. Now, I know when we talk about that, it feels wrong, doesn't it? It feels so wrong to say, God, bless this person who cursed me. Show love to this person who is so unloving to me. Show grace to this person who is so judgmental towards me. It's so hard to do that. It just feels wrong. Yes, it feels wrong. I get that. But let me ask you, is the opposite helping you? Is holding on to it helping you? Embracing bitter, embracing unforgiveness, embracing resentment, embracing anger, embracing thoughts of revenge, is that helping you? Is that benefiting you? Living from day to day with hope against hope that one day, someday, God will pour out His judgment on them, that God will bring the hammer down and punish them for what they have done, waiting and watching for that day, is that bringing you joy and peace? No, it doesn't. It enslaves us. Holding on to that anger, it might feel comfortable to us, but it is not your friend. That anger, that bitterness, that resentment, it's not a comforting embrace. What it is that it's a weed that has grown up and wrapped itself around you, and it is choking the life out of you that Jesus died to purchase for you. And God wants you to be free from that. Here's the one that got me. As he was preaching through these things, I was sitting there and saying, this does not apply to me. I'm good. I've forgiven everybody. I don't have any stuff I need to work through here. We're good. And that afternoon, I said, okay, I need to know for sure. So I spent some time in prayer and I said, God, if there's bitterness in my heart, I need to know that. If there's bitterness in my heart, I don't want to ignore that. I don't want to be ignorant to that. I need to know so that I can pull it out and deal with it and be free from it. And God relentlessly brought me back to number three. Release them and cancel the debt they owe you. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. What's he saying? Cancel the debt they owe you. The word forgive in the New Testament, it's not a religious term. It's not a spiritual term. It's actually a term from the business world. It's an accounting term. It literally means to cancel someone's debt. That's what the word means. Someone owes you $500 and you say, you know what? You don't owe me anything. We're good. Debt's been canceled. That's the word that's used in the New Testament for forgiveness. That's what it means. God's call for us to forgive others is a call to cancel a debt they owe us. In other words, it's not enough just to mouth the words, I forgive them. I must choose to release them and cancel the debt that they owe me. Here's what that means. That means no expectations. They don't have to come to me and ask for my forgiveness. They don't have to acknowledge that what they did was wrong, that what they did was evil. They don't have to realize that it was wrong for them to do what they did. They don't have to understand the pain they caused me. I release them from my expectations of what they owe me. I release them from my expectations of what they legitimately should do to make things right. I release them from that. Now, here's the freedom in that. If I'm holding on to these expectations of a person who deliberately wounded me, if I'm depending on that person acknowledging their sin, repenting of their sin, acknowledging what they did was wrong, if I'm depending on that for my freedom, for my healing, for my peace, who am I depending on for my freedom and healing and peace? The very person who wounded me. I've placed my opportunity for freedom, for healing, for peace into their hands. It depends on them. That's not freedom. That's slavery. Here's where this hit home with me. Without going into all the gory details of what we went through last year as a church, for all of the wounds that were inflicted on me last year, I can't tell you the number of times, just in the last few months, I've said something like this. I'm not angry with them. I don't want bad things to happen to them. That's not anymore. I just want them to know what they did. I just want them to see it. I just want them to understand the pain they caused. I just wish they would acknowledge the damage that they caused. You know what that is? That's an expectation. That's a debt that I was holding on to. Do they owe me that? Yeah, they do. But if I'm depending on those individuals to do those things, if I'm depending on that to happen before I can move forward, I'm depending on someone else for my growth, for my freedom, and for my victory. Is this making sense? This was so freeing for me, that realization, and it can be freeing for you as well, but a decision has to be made. It's making a decision, making a declaration, God, I release them from that debt. They should admit that what they did was wrong. They should repent for what they did. They should come to me and try to make things right. But God, I release them from that expectation. I release them from that debt. I'm not going to hold on to it any longer. Because as I hold on to it, what's actually happening is it's holding on to me. And it is holding me back, Lord, from what you want to do in my life, what you want me to walk in. So I release them. I cancel the debt they owe me. Some of you need to do this today. Because as long as you hold on to that, as long as you hold on to that expectation, you are feeding that root. And it will grow and it will poison you and it will choke out the work that God wants to do in your life. You are holding on to the very wound that you've been asking Jesus to heal you from. Some of you have been praying for God to heal you of some emotional wounds. Things that have been done to you that never should have been done to you. Wounds that were inflicted on you. Evil things that other people have done to you that they had no right to do. And you have emotional wounds from the past and you've been praying and asking God to heal you from those wounds and it's not happening and you're wondering why is it not happening? Maybe this is why. Because as long as you hold on to that debt, as long as you hold on to that expectation, that hope that one day they will come to me, one day they'll acknowledge it, one day they'll see it, they'll realize it, and they'll come and they'll say, I was wrong and you were right and I'm so sorry I hurt you. You're waiting for a day that will probably never come. And you are holding on to that debt, that expectation, as though it is your healer, as though it is your comforter. It's not. It is holding you back and it strengthens the very wound you've been asking Jesus to heal you from. Yeah, but they need to know. They need to know what they did. They need to understand. No, they don't. Because as long as I depend on that, I'm placing my freedom in their hands, not in God's hands. I'm depending on their actions to determine my joy. No more. It's time to be free from that. So in Jesus' name, I release that. I release them. No expectations. Nothing owed to me. The debt is canceled. As far as I am concerned, that debt is fully canceled. And when we do that, and we do it from the heart, and we mean it, you know what happens? That root is pulled out, and we are free once and for all. And some of you need to do that today. But first, there's one more thing I need to address. This is really important. Because I know some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, okay, so are you saying, I forgive this person or I forgive these people and I just act like everything's okay? Just go back to normal, just pretend none of this ever happened and everything's fine and now we're best friends again and everything's... No, that's not what I'm saying. It's really important to understand this. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. Forgiveness depends on my choice. Reconciliation depends on both of us. I can decide to forgive on my own. I don't need the other person to do anything for me to make that decision to forgive them. But reconciliation depends on both of us making a decision. Forgiveness takes one person. Reconciliation takes two. Forgiving someone who has wounded you does not mean you have to be close to that person again. Does not mean you have to be friends with that person again. Sometimes you forgive, but you need to keep your distance from that person. That depends on them and whether or not they truly repent. In the Old Testament, there's a story about King Saul, who became a jealous and angry demon-possessed king. And his anger was focused towards David, whom he saw as a rival, but David was not his rival. David would come in and begin to worship God and play the harp, and it soothed Saul, and he began to find healing from that. But one day, in a fit of rage, Saul picked up a spear and threw it at David, trying to kill him. And for the next several years, Saul went on a military campaign trying to hunt down David and end his life. That was the entire focus of his life for several years. David did not retaliate. He ran and went into hiding. Throughout that process, there were a couple of times when Saul saw firsthand David's righteousness. There were a couple of opportunities where David could have killed Saul and ended the whole thing and become king, but he chose not to do it. He showed mercy to the man who showed him no mercy. And on both of those occasions, when Saul realized what David had done to spare his life, Saul made these great statements like, "Oh, David, I'm so sorry. You're a much better man than I am. I'm so sorry for what I've been doing." He expressed remorse and regret for what he was doing. "David, just come back to the palace. Let's reconcile. Let's just go back to the way things were. Let's make things right between us again." David never went back to the palace. He never reconciled with Saul. You know why? Because Saul's heart did not change. Regret and repentance are not the same thing. Regret means I feel bad for what I did. Repentance means I'm never doing that again because that's evil. Saul felt regret, but he never repented. And because of that, there was no way the relationship could ever be restored. Forgiveness? Yes, David forgave Saul. But that relationship was never restored because Saul never repented. And reconciliation depends on repentance. Is this making sense?
Yes.
David honored Saul. He loved him like a father. At Saul's funeral, David wept. He wrote a song of lament when Saul was killed in battle. David truly forgave this man. But from the time Saul began to pursue David until Saul's life came to an end, their relationship was never restored. David was never close to Saul again because Saul never repented for what he had done. If you have someone in your life who is throwing spears at you and they keep saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I did," but there's no repentance, do you need to forgive that person? Yes, you do. You also probably need to walk away from that person because they're going to continue wounding you and they've demonstrated you cannot trust them. I want you to know that God wants you to be free. But in order to be free, you have got to forgive. Some of you today, you are enslaved. You're enslaved to anger and resentment. You're enslaved to this bitterness towards this person or these people who have wounded you. You maybe even have physical illnesses that are connected to that unforgiveness. You go through life, you are so unhappy. All you see is the bad. All you talk about is the negative. You can't see any of the positive. You can't see any of the things that you have to be thankful for. That's not your focus. Your focus is completely on all the things that are going wrong in your life right now. And you wonder, why does God seem so far away? Why does my prayer life seem to have this block? Why do I have no joy in my life? Could this be the reason? Could it be that you're holding on to bitterness? And the weed that is growing out of that is wrapping itself around you and choking out the life that God wants to give you. It doesn't have to be that way. Today can be your day of breakthrough. Today needs to be the day when you make the decision to pull that bitterness out by its roots. And if you do that, you can walk out of here free. There needs to be a response today. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to give a simple invitation. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to drag it out. I'm just going to give a simple invitation, and here's the invitation. If God spoke to you today, and if God pointed out you've got bitterness in your heart, there's that resentment that is growing roots into your heart. It is hurting you and it's affecting those around you. It needs to be resolved. I'm asking you to do something today to respond to that. I'm asking you not just to stay where you're sitting. I'm asking you as a show of, yes, God, I'm going to deal with this, to get up out of your seat and come forward and just find a place along the front here to sit or to kneel and just to talk it through with God and say, God, in Jesus' name, I cancel that debt. In Jesus' name, I ask you to withhold your judgment from them. God, give me the strength to do this. God, I'm asking you to bless them, to work through whichever one of these you need to work through, or if it's all of them. You can walk out of here free today, but you're not going to walk out free if you just leave and say, well, that was an interesting message. We have to respond. We have to do something to experience that freedom. So that's the invitation. Here's the second part of the invitation. Some of you here today, you're kind of on the fence and you're wondering. You're like, I think I'm good, but I'm not really sure. Well, if you're not really sure, you need to find out. You need to make sure. So some of you today, what you need to do is to come forward, just spend some time with God and say, God, here I am. I'm just asking you to examine my heart. Just show me. Lord, if there is unforgiveness in my heart, I don't want it to stay there. It needs to be rooted out. So God, I'm just going to sit here before you and listen to your voice. I'm asking you, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Show me what I need to resolve in Jesus' name. So that's the invitation. Father, I want to thank you that you love us. And I want to thank you that Jesus is the example of our forgiveness. That Jesus, you took our sins upon yourself. Justice means we bear the penalty for our sins. Mercy means you bore that penalty. You paid an immense price so that we could be forgiven and set free from the sins that we had embraced and chosen over you. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you will empower us by your Spirit, that you will strengthen us by your Spirit to do for others what you have done for us. Jesus, we are the ones who wounded you by our sins, by our rebellion, by our disobedience. And in your grace, you have forgiven us. You've shown us mercy. And I thank you, Lord. Help us to do the same. I pray that today, in Jesus' name, chains will be broken. I pray that today, Lord, right now, I'm asking you, those who have been holding on to bitterness and it has been messing up their lives and they didn't even realize it until just today. God, I pray that today is the day of freedom for them. That today is the day when those chains crumble and fall off of them and they walk out of here brand new because you have set them free. Jesus, you came to set captives free. We're asking you to do that here and now. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to just ask you to respond as God leads you to respond. If you're leaving, we're just going to ask you to do so quietly so as not to interfere with those who are here for prayer. If you need someone to pray with you, please let us know. One of us will pray with you. If you just need time alone with God, just spend time alone with God. Let me just say this also. For those who are in our Wednesday prayer people, if you could kind of be on standby too, if there are people that need prayer, okay, I'd love to have you be a part of this. Elders also, we're not here to be counselors. We're here to pray with you. We're not here to give advice. We're here to pray with you, okay? So if you need prayer, we're here for you. If you just need time alone with God, spend time alone with God. But if this is an issue for you, don't leave here until you've dealt with that issue.